Okay, today's daf is Mem Dalid. We'll start at the Mishnah at Mem Gimel Amud Bet. We were there to watch the Mot. Dvar Batina was Avram Shimon ben Chanakar Mipanim. We're looking at Baruch Elfrida Chayamalka Esther Bat Zipora. Daniel ben Miriam Chayarut Yosef ben Rachel Leah Bar Rivka Rafal Yeshua Falik ben Brachabati Yenta Miriam Bat Chan Rachel Avram ben Zohara Yael Miriam Bat Chaya. Okay, starting a new Mishnah, the place to start. Hamochir Avdo Lovde Kochavim Olechutz La'aretz Yatza Ben Chori. If you remember what happens to an Eved Kenani, he gets a Brit Milah when he comes into your house. He becomes a Jew in the sense he's chayiv in mitzvot aseh, he's patra from mitzvot aseh shazman grama, he's chayiv in all other mitzvot. And if you sell him to a non-Jew, you're basically not allowing him now to be mekayim the mitzvot because he has a different master who's probably not going to let him, you know, go do the things he needs to do that he's chayiv to do. So because of that, you're preventing him from being Mekayim Mitzvot. And therefore, the rabbis instituted a knas on you. They don't want you to do this to the poor guy. So, what do they say? If you do it, he automatically goes free. Likewise, if you sell him to a Jewish owner who lives in Chutz La'aretz, he's going to now go free because you prevent... So there's there's machlok here. Rashi says, is it Rashi? Right, Kiyomin HaMitzvot. In other words, again, you've prevented him from being Mekayim Mitzvot HaTzliyot Ba'aretz.
Okay, this goes with the whole Sugya.
Exactly. So there's two issues. One is maybe there's an issue to actually leave Eretz Yisrael, which I don't want to start bringing up in this context. the other is that you're preventing him from doing the Mitzvot HaTzliyot Ba'aretz. And therefore, again, we give you a knas, and Yatza Ben Chorin, he becomes free. That's the issue we're going to discuss today. And this comes from the Gemara we learned at the very end of Ketubot about the mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel.
No, the knas is that there's no sale.
No, well, the sale is a good sale. You've sold him to someone else. He's free. And then, one second. Right, so first of all, if you sell him to a non-Jew, you're chayav lifdot oto. You have to buy him back and set him free. That's the knas. And not only do you have to buy him back, but you now have to set him free. And then, then we're going to see who's the knas on. We're going to see about the Chutz La'aretz case. We'll see that later on. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, with the Gemara Amem Gimel Amud Bet. Hamochir avdo lovdei kochavim yatza lechayru v'tzarich get shichur mi rabo risha. Okay, here we have, if you sell him to the non-Jew, then he goes free, and now the original owner has to give him a get shichur. Amar Rashbag, v'med varim amurim, shelo katav alav ono. Aval katav alav ono, zehu shichuro. That's all if you didn't write this star called an ono. We're going to see what they were, the on. If you wrote him his ono, then that's already his shichur. So obviously the question is going to be, my ono, what is this ono? Amar Rav Sheshet, if you wrote the words in the star, dechatav lehachi, L'chishetivrach mimenu, ein li esek bach. That in the event that you run, I'm selling you to this owner, this new non-Jewish owner, and if you run away from him, I will have, you won't have anything to do with me. In other words, really, l'halacha, if you sell him to a non-Jew, he still belongs to you, and he really is yours. But if you write him the shtar, in other words, then that's mikardin. The knas is that he's not allowed to be, but because he's not allowed to be, you have to actually give him a get shechur. But if when you sold him, you wrote in the document, in the event that you run away from this owner and come back to me, I have nothing to do with you. That's enough to say you've already released him, and he doesn't need a separate get shechur. Tana Rabbanan. Lava alav minove kochavim. Let's say you take a loan from a non-Jew, and you say, in the event that I don't pay the loan, this slave will be yours. So it's sort of like you're selling him, right? But you didn't exactly sell him yet. Kevan sha'asalo ove kochavim nimuso yatsa lechirut. As soon as the ove kochavim does this thing, we're going to see in a minute what it is, nimuso, then the eved is already, he's shown that he's owning, right? In other words, it's at a certain point, if you don't pay back that loan, the ove kochavim is going to come in and take your eved. So the question is, at what point, at what action does he do that it becomes clear that at that moment, he now belongs to the ove kochavim, he doesn't belong to you anymore, in which case, he's now a free man, and you have to give him the get shechur. My nimuso, what is this nimuso? Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, nashke. it's like a seal that you put on him. Some of the Mepharshim explain you put this thing around his neck, almost sounds like dog tags or something. You belong to me. Okay? Or maybe you'd think even more in better terms, like a leash almost. You know, here he's his Eved, he owns him, he puts something around his neck, has his name on it or something, you know, or has the owner's name on it. But some sort of siman that he puts on him that shows he's mine. So now we're going to have a question on this. Mativ Rav Sheshet, harisim v'achachirot, harisei batei avot, v'ovei kochavim, shemishachan, right, who takes a mashkon, a collateral, sadehu li Yisrael, af al pish asalonimuso, p'turam in amaser. Okay, the first thing is, let's explain what this means, then we'll see what the issue is. An aris is someone who works in your field, and you give him a percentage of the profits of what his work is. A charich is a tenant. You rent him your field, he pays you rent, and he gets the produce. Arisei batei avot are the arisim who get passed down from generation, right? Their kids work for the owner's kids' fields. And the ovei kochavim that took a sadeh from a Yisrael as collateral. Okay, so now, even if, here's the important part, even if the ovei kochavim who took a field as a collateral put his nimus on this field, it's patur min amaser. Okay? It's, sorry, when, right, it should be, you no longer need to do maser on it at that point. Okay? Why is it afal pisha salo nimuso? Pisha salo li Yisrael nimuso? Right, even if the Jew were to put his, 1 second, I think one of that. If, right, so this is the opposite then? It's the non-Jew gives him the field?
Even though the Jew made the proceedings in accordance with the Ovdei Kochavim custom.
Meshachan Sadeh Oli Yisrael. Sorry, I read it wrong. Right. He gave his field as a collateral to a Jew. So even if the Jew puts on its nimus, okay, we're going to see what the problem is in a second. You can already figure it out. What, you hang a dog tags on a field, right? There's no such thing. How could you say that that's what it is? Okay, so even though he does that, it's p'tur min amaser.
What do you mean by hang a dog tag? Isn't that nishuk?
That's what they're saying. It says
nishuk or nimus?
Nimus is nishuk. What did they say? What is nimuso? Nashke. So now we're saying, how could it be nashke? Isakadatach nashke. Nashke. Sadeba nashkehi. If you're going to say that nimus is nashke, how could you possibly put a seal on a field? Ela amrav sheshet. Zman. Okay, what does he mean to say? He means, nimuso is not nashke, it means zman. What does it mean? That you set a date. If you already set a date as to what's the date that the person can come and take over the field, then that's already as if it's his. Okay, so now, if that's the case though, what's the issue? The first case, what do we say? As soon as the non-Jew puts his nimuso on, what's the situation? It's considered the non-Jews and the Eved Yotzei L'Chirut. In the second case, what did we say? As soon as the Israel, even if the Israel put his nimus on it, meaning he gave a set time, right? They agreed on a time that the Jew could get the land, it's still patur min amaser. So you see, kashya zman azman, right? In each case, it goes in the opposite direction. In the first case, we said it's already considered the Ovei Kochavim as soon as he puts his nimus. In the second case, we said if the Jew's taking a field from a non-Jew, even though he put his nimus, meaning they said zman, right? It doesn't belong to the Jew yet because it's patur min amaser. So each case goes in a different direction. So basically, if you want to say it in other words, we have a problem between the maser case, right? The maser case seems to say, even though kavabo zman, right? It still belongs to the original owner, right? Dain lebali marishanim, it's easier because they're not comparable, the two cases, right? In one case, it was from the Jew to the non-Jew. In the second case, it was from the non-Jew to the Jew. And in the case of the Eved, what do we say? As soon as he's kovea bozman, it's over lebal u'shnim, right? It goes to the second owners. Okay? So this is basically the contradiction. So now what do they answer? Yeah?
It seems like we're missing an important thing. I mean, doesn't he then owe the Ovdei Kochavim money because he sold them a slave and then he has to let the slave go free? So the seller, the Jew.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's a number of
sale. Whoa. Okay, the Jew lets him go free, but that's the Jewish law. The Ovdei Kochavim can do whatever he wants.
What is the.
He sets him free.
What is actually. Where actually is the slave?
I think it just means.
Available.
the way I understood it is that he's free from the non, from the Jewish, from Jewish law. He's no longer considered an Ovei Kochavim. Now he's actually a Jew who's now working for a non-Jew. Right? He becomes a full-fledged Jew.
You can't force this guy to. I mean, he's already.
You just said you can't make him leave Israel. And you can't make him not do mitzvot. So he can't really be working for.
No, but he did. In other words, he did it. So therefore, as the issue is that if he runs away now from this non-Jew, he doesn't go back to the original Jewish owner. That would be, you have to remember, we're dealing with Jewish law and non-Jews who don't care about Jewish law. So basically, you have to free this guy, which means he's now becomes a full-fledged Jew according to Jewish law. And if he were to be freed or run away or anything from the non-Jewish owner, now he just becomes a Jew working for a non-Jewish owner. Understand? He's still a slave. Because now he's a Jew, and now he's right.
It's definitely not good.
Right.
And you know, if he runs away, of course the previous owner who's Jewish wouldn't have anything to do with it because he sold. I mean,
right.
So the
doesn't seem to be.
Is the problem. Like the way the Mishnah is written is very difficult.
Right.
If you sell and he goes free, is tautological.
And right. Yeah.
It would also seem to me that it would make non-Jewish, like Odei Kochavim, reticent about buying slaves.
If they knew.
Right. If they know these laws, right.
But
my sense is he becomes a Jew, and the issue is really, if he runs away, what's going to happen to him? In other words, he wouldn't be your slave anymore. And if he runs away back to your house.
You're not going anywhere. You told him. The only issue here is if he runs away. Otherwise,
but if he
right, or
away,
if you buy him back,
go back to the
and if you buy him back, you can't
like,
have him work for you anymore.
If you buy him back,
right.
You can't have him.
Remember, the whole thing really was to prevent them from doing this. That was the whole. It was all. They didn't want people to be doing this, so they gave you a knas that if you did it, you know that was the end of it.
Don't
he wouldn't be yours.
Don't you have to do a shivuim? Don't you have to rescue him because now you've got a full-fledged Jew?
Right. The question is right. If that, that's
right.
A good to think about that, what the issue is with the. Just see something, maybe.
So the knas is that you, if you buy him back, you can't have him. The easy response is, well, I won't buy him back.
You should have to rescue him.
You should have to rescue him.
Right. The question is he really considered a full-fledged Jew at that point if he's working for the Ovei Kochavim or only if he runs away from him and then he becomes a full-fledged Jew? It's unclear
free.
To me.
He's free the minute he sold to him.
Right. Right, it's a good question. It's, I don't have a good answer. How he's functioning, this guy, basically, this Ovei Kochavim that now becomes a Jew, how he's functioning in this non-Jewish home.
I
think the assumption is that while he's still working for that owner, he's not really a Jew. I think it's only once he gets freed from him or runs away or something, then he would be a Jew. That's how I understand it, because otherwise it would be impossible. Then it's almost worse for him. Because then he's also chayav in mitzvah lase shasman grama, and then... It's a very difficult position.
What's the knas, exactly?
The knas is that if he were to run away and come back to you...
You've already sold him. That's no knas.
Right. Well, first of all, it also saves the he now... It helps the slave. He can now marry anyone. He can marry a regular Jew.
For sure it helps the slave. Why is it knas on the owner?
Yeah, let's see where he loses in this whole thing.
He hasn't lost anything.
Yeah.
Right, you're saying if he runs away, he doesn't really belong to him anyway because he sold him.
Right, if he
but
runs away,
I think
away,
the assumption is he could run away
and
come back to you, and then he can't work for you anymore.
That seems very far-fetched.
Right,
and it certainly doesn't seem much of a.
You're also we're going to see that you're also supposed to part of the knas is we're going to see that you're supposed to redeem him.
Okay,
and then you're supposed to buy him back, but then he's not yours anymore. So maybe that's
that's
the issue. Right. Now I remember, right. It's because of that. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
The knas is more than what it says in the Mishnah, which is you have to buy him back, redeem him from there, and then let him be free. Right.
So then
okay.
You lose the money.
Exactly.
The
then you lose
okay,
the money and you lose
knas.
The slave.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, fine. So now we have to resolve this contradiction, okay? That in the Maaser, it sounds like even though you didn't even so, he belongs in still to the Ovei Kochavim, Pachor from Maaser. And in the Eved case, he goes to the Bali Mashniyim. So now they say, lo kashya, ha de mate zimne, ha de lo mate zimne. Each case is in a different situation. One, yes, you were kovea azman, a date. The question is, did the date arrive or did the date not arrive? Yes, you set a date, but just setting a date isn't enough. It's setting a date and the date arrives, and that's the first case, in our case with the Eved, and therefore it belongs to the non-Jew. And the other one is where you set a date, but it didn't yet arrive, the Maser, and that's where you put Torah for Maser. Ela gabei Eved, but now they say, wait a minute. Ela gabei Eved, demate zimna, tzricha lemeimar. What's the chiddush? Obviously, that's the case. If the Eved came the time for the Ovei Kochavim, he now owns him, because you gave him his collateral, the date came up, and now he owns him. Well, what do you even need to tell us that? It's obvious. So they reject that. And anyway, I saw from your faces you didn't love that answer. Gemara rejects it anyway. Ela idivi idilama tezimne. Both are that the time hadn't yet arrived. Velo kasha. Halagufa halapere. In the case of the Eved, he sold him the goof, the body of the Eved. So therefore, as soon as the Ovei Kochavim, they set a time, right? We said, now, even if the time doesn't arrive, the fact that he set a time, and he said, come this date, this Eved will be yours, that's enough to say it belongs to the Ovei Kochavim, and you already have to set him free. But in the case of the Sadeh, it was a case where you gave him just the proceeds. You said, if the date arrives, then you will get the proceeds of this field, but not the field itself. If that's the case, and he's only getting the proceeds, then it's going to be patur for Maser, because the Jew's not going to own the field anyway. Okay? And there's the difference between the field and the Eved. V'ibay teima, b'shelava amanat l'mashkeno, v'lo mashkeno. Some people say he gave it. It's a case where he gave it in order to give it as collateral, but he didn't actually give it as collateral. So he said, you could take my Eved if I don't do it. And then, the time has arrived, but he hasn't yet taken it. So in terms of the Eved, even if he hasn't yet taken it, then it's already his zchut to have the Eved. In other words, if you haven't yet taken the field, so the field belongs still to the non-Jew. But if you haven't taken the Eved, since he has rights to take the Eved, the Jew gave him rights to take the Eved starting from this day, so the Jew already gets the knas, because he already did something he shouldn't be doing, which is give him ownership rights, even if he doesn't take those ownership rights. Just by giving him the rights is already enough. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Geba'o b'chovo, o shalakos sikrikon, lo yatsa l'chirut. Let's say you owe money, and somebody comes and says, I'm taking the slave in place of what you owe me. Whereas he didn't sell him the slave. The whole idea is it's a knas for the owner for selling the slave. Here comes a non-Jew, and he says, I demand this Eved because you haven't paid me back the loan. Or the sikrikon come. They're the government officials or the thugs. They're really the thugs. They're the, you know, the bullies who beat up people, and they say, give us this Eved or else. Lo yatsa l'chirut. Okay? You don't go free because there's no knas. It wasn't his fault. He didn't want to do this. So now they say, ubechovo lo. Really, if somebody takes it because you owe them money, that doesn't count as, you know, you doing something wrong and therefore having to pay this knas. Ureminhi. Hare sha'anso beit hamelech gorno. If the beit hamelech comes and takes your goren, okay, it comes, they say, you know, we're taking stuff from your storage house. Im bechovo, if they took it based on a chov, that you owed the government money, okay, the king comes, the king's people come, and they seize your storage house, or whatever was in your storage house. So the question is, does that stuff belong to you, and you still have to do truma d'masrot on it, or not? So if he takes it because you had a chov, then you have to take masrot still, meaning you have to take masrot from what you have in your house, knowing what you had in that storage house, right? He obviously took all your stuff, so you can't take masrot from it, but you take from something else on that stuff. In ba'amparot patur milaser, but if he took it just because he stam balo, you know, to come take your stuff, so then you don't have to take masro. So now they say, so what's if what do you see here? If it was because of a chov, then it's still considered yours, and you don't have to take, and you have to take masro. So what should you say? The same thing about the Eved is still considered yours if they took it because of a chov. So they say, no, you can't compare these two cases. Shanei hatam dekamishtar shelei. In the case of the Maser, if he takes all your Goren stuff, you now benefit because you don't have to take Maserot on that stuff. Okay? Right? You, if I owed the government 100 shekel and they took 100 shekels of my crops, that were stored up in my storage house. Now, really, of those 100 shekels, how many really belong to me? Only 98, let's say, whatever. You know, you had to take truma, master, all those things. So basically, I now benefit because instead of paying them 100 shekel, I really only pay them 98 because not all of it belonged to me. So therefore, I gained benefit from that. And because of that, I'm not patur from master. And therefore, it's a totally separate issue and it's not comparable to the Eved case. So we tried to bring contradiction, but we said, no, these two situations are totally different because in the case of the master, if they take it because they just seized my property, so then, you know, whether they took mine or they took part of it belonged to someone else because the Kohen and the Levi, etc., that doesn't make a difference. But if they took stuff that I owed, they took 100 shekels worth because I owed 100 shekels, and now I owe less money, now I don't have to pay them back the loan, and I gain because I didn't have to take master, then I have to take master. So therefore, they're not comparable cases. Tashma, now they bring another source, though, that creates a problem. Da'amarav, ha-mochir avdola farhang, ovei kochavim. Okay, what's this? This is a government official. You sell your slave to a government official who's an ovei kochavim, yatsa lechirut. So what do you see here? You sell him, and he goes free. Now, the assumption here is that the government official forced you to sell him. Okay, this is also like a bully, you know, ovei kochavim. He forced you to sell it, so why should you yatsa lechirut? So what do they answer? Hatam havale lefayes velo piyes. You should have encouraged him to take something else of your property and not your slave. Right? In other words, he comes to take something. He took your slave. You should say, no, take my land or take something else because you should take my wife. Yeah. So, right, reminds you of that Lot story and the, right? Pilagesh Begivah. So, anyway, so basically he's saying you should have had him take something else and tried to save your slave, and because you didn't do that, that's why you get the knas. But this is all trying to deal with, the whole issue is you're supposed to pay a knas because you did something wrong. In a case where you did nothing wrong, so why? So each case they try to come up with what you did that wasn't, you know, you could have done something else. Gufa. Now they're just going to quote this case and say the exact same thing, but learning it within just that context, not in terms of the contradiction. Amarav, hamocher avdola farhang ovei kochavim yatsa lechirut. Now they say, why yatsa lechirut? My havalei le'me'aba? What could he have done? Havalei lefayes velo piyes. He should have tried to appease him with something else. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. You remember Rabbi Yirmiyah? He always asks those nitpicky questions. Okay, a bunch today. Mecharo l'shloshim yom mahu. Let's say you sold it to the ovei kochavim just for 30 days, in which case he'll come back.
Like renting.
Right, like renting. Tashma, da'amarav, ha-mocher avdola farhang ovei kochavim yatsa l'chirut. So therefore, what do you see? Usually, if you sell it, right, it sounds like it could be temporary. And therefore, you see yatsa l'chirut anyway. So then they say, no, that doesn't prove anything, because obviously, what can you say? Hatam b'parhang ovei kochavim she'ena chozeret. Right, no, it's talking about when the government official took it for the long term. So therefore, we don't have an answer. Micharo, often Rabbi Yirmiyah's questions don't get answered. We're going to see a whole bunch that don't get answered today. Micharo, chutz mimelechto. What's the whole issue? That if the Ovei Kochavim works for this non-Jew, he's going to have to work for him and he won't be able to do his mitzvot. So you're basically putting him in a difficult situation where he's going to have to be over on the mitzvot. Let's say you sell him for all sorts of issues, but not for working. In other words, you sell him for... what would you sell him for other than for work? You can marry him off to your maidservants and he can have children. And then you'll have children that are avadim, right? This reminds me, by the way, of the kina. You know that famous kina that we say every year about Rabbi Ishmael's children who got taken into captivity? And right, and then they both got to different adonim and they said, I have a beautiful slave and I have a beautiful slave. And he said, why don't we put them together and we'll have many beautiful slaves? And as part of the idea of having slaves, we're to have more slaves. So if you just buy him to procreate, basically, but not to work for you, you sell him for part of him, but not, right, like let's say he works in my house all day, but he sleeps in your house and he can marry your maidservants and have children. So then, what would you say? Well, maybe there's no knas because you're not preventing him from doing the mitzvot because he still works for you. Or, what if you say, chutz min ha-mitzvot? Okay, you say, I'm selling it to you, but know that he has to do mitzvot. So anytime he has to do a mitzvah, right, he's not going to be yours. Or, chutz mi shabbatot v'yavim tovim. Or you can have him, but not on Shabbat and Yom Tov when he can't work. L'ger toshav. What if you sell him to a ger toshav? Okay, that's someone who does shiva mitzvot b'nei noach. Or Yisrael Mumar, or a Jew who doesn't keep mitzvot, who might also do the same thing as the non-Jew, Mahu. Likuti Mahu, what about the Kutim? Who are those Gerei Arayot? They're in that weird, you know, are they Gerei Emet? Are they Gerei Arayot? So now he says, I want to know what the halach is in all those situations. Pashu Miachada. So we have at least the answer to one question. Ger Toshav Harehu Ka'ove Kochavim. The Ger Toshav is considered like an Ove Kochavim. We have a source that says that. So therefore, what are we going to assume? That in this circumstance, he's also considered like an Ove Kochavim. If you sell to a Ger Toshav, even though it keeps Shavim Mitzvah B'nei Noach, it's like selling to a non-Jew, Yatzal Chirut. Kuti V'Yisrael Mumar, we're going to have maybe an answer, but not really. Amre Lakove Kochavim, but Amre Laki Yisrael. Some people hold like an Ove Kochavim, and some people hold it's like selling him to Yisrael. So there's a machloket. It makes sense to be the machloket about the Kuti, because in general, we have that machloket. Are they Gerei Emet? Are they Gerei Arayot? If you view them as Gerei Arayot, that they were forced to convert and they're not really Jews, then you'll view them like an Ove Kochavim. And if you view them as true Gerim, then they're going to be viewed as Yisrael. The other ones, that's what's different about that one and the rest that we don't have answers to at all, is that we don't have answers at all. These, at least we have answers, but we have conflicting answers. Baalmi Neimi Rabbi Ami, another question. Eved Shi Pil Atzmo L'Gayasot. Let's say an Eved gives himself over to the non-Jews. And you didn't, right, you didn't sell him. He handed himself over. Ve'en, right, let's say the non-Jews come in with their army and he basically, you know, offers to go with them. Ve'en rabo yachol lehotzio, lo b'dinei Yisrael v'lo b'dinei ovei kochavim. Okay, and there's no circumstance where the owner will be able to bail him out, basically. Not in Jewish laws and not in non-Jewish laws. Maushi tol etamav. Is he allowed to take, if the non-Jews offer him money for the slave, is he allowed to take it? Now, he didn't want to sell the slave, but they forced him to. Is he allowed to accept money on behalf of this Eved? Because he's really not allowed to sell the Eved. So the question is, can he accept money on behalf of him or not? Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zreika. So Rabbi Yirmiyah now comes and says to Rabbi Zreika, interesting enough, Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't ask this question, okay? Yeah. They asked Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zreika, Pok im b'mechiltecha. Go look in your texts. Navik dak eshkach, he looked, and he found that it says, Ditanya, ha-mocher beto lo-ve kochavim, damav asuim. If you sell your house to an Ovei Kochavim, you're not allowed to use the money that you got from it. Okay, there's an Isser. This goes back to, right, this is all the political, these are those sources people use for nowadays politics and stuff. Can you sell your house to non-Jews? Okay, so if you sell your house in Israel to a non-Jew, you're not allowed to use the money that you got from the sale. Ovei Kochavim sha'anas beito shel Yisrael, if an Ovei Kochavim seizes a house of a Jew, ve'em ba'alav yachol leotzio, here's the exact parallel, right? He takes your house by force, but he pays you for it. And you can't, ve'em ba'alav yachol leotzio lo b'dinei Yisrael v'lo b'dinei Ovei Kochavim, you can't get it back, okay, right? You're not allowed to sell your house, but if they come and they seize your house, and you have no way to buy it back, mutar li tol et amav, then you're allowed to take the money for it. So what do you see? That you're allowed to, right? Ve'kotev u'male berka'ot shalahem, mipnei shehu kematzil miyadam. And then, this means that you can, my kotev is, what, you write the deed of sale, right, but what's the chidush here that you, right, you write a deed of sale, right, and you put it, you have it in their non-Jewish courts, because he's like, taking, in other words, the whole idea is we want you to take the money from them. In other words, we don't really want you to have the money because you weren't supposed to be selling this, although it wasn't really your fault, but we definitely don't want them to have the money. As we'd rather take away the non-Jewish money. Okay, that's the idea. It's Matzil Miyadam Shalavdei Kochavim. Okay, so now, what do you see that you can, right? So what do you assume? In our case also, you'd be allowed to take the money. So Amar Rabbi Yosho ben Levi, Hamocher Avde, I skipped something, no? Right, where I lost it. Okay. it's the same words later on. I went to the wrong spot. V'dil mahane mile bayit. Dekevan delo sagile below bayit lo ate lizvune. Aval avda de sagile below avda ate lizvune. Remember what the whole reason for the knas is. What's the reason for the knas? We don't want people to sell slaves. We also don't want people to sell houses. But you're much less likely to sell your house because you need a house. Whereas a slave, you can live without a slave. So therefore, we're going to be much more strict about the knas on the slave, because you're more likely to sell a slave than you are to sell your house. So therefore, we're going to be konesot, we're going to be make the knas on you much more strict in the Eved case, and therefore, just because you don't get, you're allowed to take the money in the case of the house, it's really because we had no concern you were going to ever sell your house to a non-Jew. But in the case of the slave, we're gonna not necessarily, or at least we don't know. In other words, the point is you can't learn it from here. We don't know. Shalach lehu Rabbi Ami, Minei Ami Bar Natan. Okay, he sent a question to Rabbi Ami Bar Natan. Torah yotzeit lechol Yisrael. Eved shepil atzmo legayasot. Ve'ein rabo lechol otzio lo b'dinei Yisrael v'lo b'dinei ovdei kochavim. Mutar li tolet amav. Ve'ma'aleh berkaot shel ovdei kochavim. Mipnei shehu kematzil miyadam. So what does he tell you here? Where do we leave with? We left with, we can't necessarily learn it from the house, but now we have a case where they say that the halacha is, despite that, we do allow you to take the money, because in the end, what's the main thing? That we can be matzil the money from the Ovdei Kochavim. We'd rather have the money out of their hands.
But this is so incredibly unappealing, because they always say the slave gave himself up. What if they took the slave? You understand? Like, what about that?
Right, in this case, the slave gave himself up. In this case, right, these two cases. But you're saying if they took the slave, but it would be the same. Because the case they make the comparison to is the house, where they take the slave.
Right.
I think it would be the same case. So the question is, why are they specifically asking about a slave who gave himself in?
Because it's less unappealing. Do you understand? Then, like, he willingly left. If they came and they took him, you could say you should rescue him. Like, there's this whole concept.
Right. No, but here they're saying, and it's a case where you can't. Aim rabo yacholotzio. Obviously, you're supposed to rescue him. But if it's a situation where they won't allow you to, they won't let you buy him back. And that's ideally, you should just buy him back, pay them money, like a ransom. But in this case, they don't want ransom money. So obviously, you're supposed to.
Okay? It's interesting, though, that they always say that the guy willingly gave himself up.
They don't always. Just this case.
It's the same case.
They're just giving the halacha for that case. It's just this one case. Amri Rashua ben Levi, Hamocher avdo lo ve'kochavim, konsino to ad mea b'damav. Okay, now we get to this knas issue and how much you have to buy him back. Let's say the non-Jew said, I want 100 times his value. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if you sold the Eved, now this is only if you sold him, you have to buy him back for even 100 times the amount. Okay? Dafka or lav dafka? They want to know, did he really mean 100 times? Or was he just saying, you have to buy him back for a lot more? Okay, which would mean, the nafka mean obviously is, what if they really do want 100 times? Does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi really think you have to pay it? Or did he just mean like 10 times? But he said it in the extreme. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Dama Rish Lakish, Hamocher behema gasa lo ve kochavim. Okay, there's an issue that you're not allowed to sell a big animal to an ove kochavim. Behema gasa is like a cow or, you know, the ones that you work with. An ox. Now, why those animals are you not allowed to sell to non-Jews? The concern is, if you sell them to non-Jews, people might rent them from non-Jews and think that they're... And the whole idea... let me get it straight. You're not allowed to work these animals. If they belong to Jews, you're not allowed to work them on Shabbat. And the issue is that we're concerned... Forget the details now, one second. That if you sell it...
rent it and not rent, know that it really...
Right,
is
so...
It can't be worked on Shabbat.
Right. Im Yatiru. Right. We're worried. Sorry, it's like this. If you can sell them to non-Jews, then what are we worried? That you might rent them to non-Jews. And if you rent them to non-Jews, your animal can't be used. This is like a good example for if you have a business. Can't be used on Shabbat, even if other people do your business on Shabbat. Right? There's issues there. So your animal has to rest on Shabbat, whether... He's in your hands or he's in non-Jewish hands. And if you rent him or lend him to a non-Jew, the non-Jew can't use it on Shabbat. So we're worried that if we allow you to sell it to a non-Jew, you might also come to rent it and forget that your animal can't work on Shabbat. So therefore, we don't allow you to sell it. So if you're mocher of behema gasa lobe kochavim, konsino toad eser b'dameha, asara b'dameha, 10 times the amount. So here you see it's really 10 times the amount, right? And not really 100 times. But now they say, no, Dilma Shana Eved, de kol yoma v'yoma mapkelemi mitzvot. Now, you can't necessarily compare the Behe Magasa case to the Eved case, because the Eved case, you're doing something much, much worse, because every single day you're causing him to be over on mitzvah. As opposed to the Behe Magasa, there's some issue, we're kones to you, but that's a much smaller knas. So you could see, Dafka, that that would be 10, and this would be 100 times. V'kadam, right? Other people say, Amar B'Yishro Ben Levi, the whole thing, Rabbi Yishro Ben Levi didn't say 100 times for the Eved. This is how, this is what he said. It was a whole different version. Amar Rabbi Yishro Ben Levi, Hamocher Avdo Lovei Kochavim, Konsinoto Ad Asara B'damav, 10 times. So now he says it's 10 times. So now they ask, Dafka Olo Dafka, is it Dafka 10, or does he just mean a huge amount, right? Maybe even more than 10. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Amar Rish Lakish, now we're going to see the opposite. Rish Lakish actually said, not what we said about 10, but Hamocher B'magasa Lovei Kochavim, Konsinoto Ad Mea B'dameha. If you sell your animal to a Ovei Kochavim, you have to buy it back for 100 times, even 100 times the amount. So now they say, so what do you assume? That when Rabbi Yishro Ben Levi said 10 times, he didn't mean Dafka 10, he meant 10 or even more, even not 100. So now they say, no, maybe, no, this is the exact opposite. In the Behe Magasa, we would go to 100, but in the Eved, only 10. Why? Dilma. Shane Eved Delo Hadrele. Ela Behema Tama Mai. Mishum de Hadrele Likanse. Likanse Tfe. 1 second. Consino to Abmebidame. Shane Eved Delo Hadrele. The Eved will never go back to him. Right? Ela Behema Tama Mai. Mishum de Hadrele Likanse. 1 second. Right. Because. After, right, it's going to go back to you, this behema. And therefore, liknesei tfei chad. Let's just do it. Well, let's make him have a knas. Sorry.
Let's penalize him only one time more than the item's value, and we penalize the one who sold the slave. Because the animal returns to your possession.
So he should have a higher knas, because in the end, he's going to buy back the animal, but get the animal. And therefore, we're going to penalize you more financially, because you're actually going to get the animal back. Whereas with the Eved, you're not going to get the animal back at all. Okay, thanks. So therefore, what are we going to say now? Ela behema tama mai. Ela Eved milta delo shchicha. Umilta delo shchicha lo gazru barabanan. Okay, the case of an Eved is not a common case. Okay, so now they're going to say there's a different reason to be make a distinction between the Eved and the Behema. The Behema was much more common to be selling to a non-Jew, whereas an Eved was less common. And therefore, the Knas was going to be lower by an Eved than it is by the non-Jew. It's a little bit of a difficult answer, because if you say Milta Dilo Shlicha Lo Gazru Be'Rabbanan, then there's no reason to be Gozer at all. Here we're using this as to say it's got a lesser level. But it seems like a strange answer, because generally you would say then there's no reason at all, and then you shouldn't have a knas. But we obviously do have a knas. Okay. By minei Rabbi Yirmiya mi Rabbi Asi. More questions of Rabbi Yirmiya. Machar avdo v'mate. Let's say you sell your slave and then you die before you pay this knas, before you bought him back, right, and freed him. So maushi kan suet b'no acharav. Do his children have to deal with the knas that he's supposed to pay? In Tim Tzalomer, if we want to learn it, now he's going to basically bring other situations of the kids not either having to or not having to, and he's going to say they're different. If you're a Kohen and you have an animal with a mum, you have a bechor, someone gives you a bechor, it has a mum. If it has a mum, you can eat it yourself. If it doesn't have a mum, you have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash and eat it there. So they were worried the Kohanim would put a mum into their animal, so to make it easier for them to eat it. So basically, what do they say? If you did it on purpose, then you get a knas. So tsaram ozen b'chor, okay, if you did it, but yet you didn't take care of the knas yet, and you died, okay, you made a hole in his ear. Kansu b'no acharav, okay? So maybe we should learn from there. If the knas there goes to the child, then also here it should go to the child. Then they say, no, but that's different. Mishum d'isur d'oraitehi. That's Asur Midoraita. Aval Hacha Yisur Durabana. Okay, here it's an Yisur Durabana, and therefore you can't learn from there. Continues Rabbi Yirmiya. Ve'im Tim Tzalomer Kivei Melachto B'Moed V'Meit. What if you decide on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to work if you didn't finish something, and now it's going to be a huge hefsed if you don't finish it. So let's say you decide to start something just before Chol HaMoed, so that it will be a situation at this point, you'll create a hefsed situation for yourself on Chol HaMoed, and you'll have to work on Chol HaMoed. So now what do we say? Let's say you were mechavein to do your work on Chol HaMoed, where you created a situation where halachically it would be okay for you to work, but you tricked, right? You did it with trickery. And then you died. So the knat, what's supposed to happen is you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, right? You're supposed to lose all that. Really, it's forbidden for you to do the work on Chol HaMoed, and we penalize you for all that. But if you died before you did the work on Chol HaMoed, lo kansubino acharav, and the son can actually do the work on Chol HaMoed, because for him, he didn't create this bad situation. So there, maybe we can learn from here that lo konsim etaben. But what do they say? Mishum de lo avidi sura. But in that case, even though he created a situation out of trickery, he actually never did anything wrong, because he started the malacha before Yantif, and he died before Chol HaMoed, so he never worked on Chol HaMoed. So he actually didn't do any. The wrongdoing is when he actually does the work of Chol HaMoed. In this case, the owner never did. But here, hacha, my l'didei kansu rabbanan v'haleita. So now, so we want to know here in our situation, is it that they were kones, the person himself, v'haleita, and now the guy's no longer here, so therefore the kids don't get the knas. Odilma l'mamone kansu rabbanan. Or are we penalizing his money, his property, in which case the sons would obviously, who inherit the property, also inherit the knas. Va'ite, right, and the money is there. Amarle, let's learn it from here. Tanitua, we have a braita that says, Sadesh nitkavtsa b'shvi'it. If you pull out thorns from a field, okay, now in order to do the threshing, you get rid of all the thorns first. So if you take out the thorns on the shnat shvi'it, tizra l'motzei shvi'it, even though you prepared it somewhat for threshing in the Shemitah year, which you're not allowed to, you're allowed to plant it, motzei shvi'it, because the taking out the thorns is not really a malacha. But nitaiba o nidaira, if you fertilize the field, or you had all your animals live in the field in order to fertilize it, right? Because the manure is going to fertilize the field. Lo tizra l'motzei shvi'it. You can't do it immediately after the Shnat Shemitah because you prepared it for threshing on the Shemitah year in a forbidden way. Ba'amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, naktinan, we've learned that heitiva umet. Umeit, b'no zorah. What do you see here? If he does it, though, and then he dies, and his son wants to do it, he wants to plant the field in the motzei shvi'it, he's allowed. So what do you learn from here? Alma l'didei kansu rabbanan, liberei lo kansu rabbanan. So what do you see here? From this case, you see that we only penalize himself, but not the children. Amar Abaye, here's another case. Naktinan timei taharot shel chavero umeit. Lo kansu rabbanan b'no acharav. If you take I have taharot in my house, okay? There's two situations. Either, we learned already that, either it's just the kohanim, and we're talking about truma, and we know the truma tamea, you have to burn, and it's basically pasul. So let's say it's kohanim. Or there were people who ate al taharat ha-kodesh. Do you remember that? People ate their chulin as if they were, treated them like kodesh. So if that's the case, and someone's metame, your stuff, so basically it's, they basically penalized your property, right? They've ruined your property for you, okay? They've made your stuff to me. If somebody does that, they instituted a knas, that you have to pay a knas. But if you died, lo kansu rabbanan b'no acharav. But now they say, no, you can't learn from here, because my time, hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. Oh, sorry. No. I made a mistake. This is actually proving the point. What's the issue here? This is only a knas situation. And why is it a knas situation? You might say, what do you mean? You came into my house, you were metamei matarot, you destroyed my property. That's real nezek. But this is in a unique category called hezek she'eino nikar. What does it mean to say no nikar? If you look at my fruits, you can't tell are they tamei or not, right? So you've done nezek that's not noticeable. You've turned them, right? They have a change in what they're called. They're instead of tamei, they're tahor. But it's not noticeable. So hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek, okay? But kansara ban knasahu derabanan he l'didei. But the rabbis made it that we don't want people to go in and mess up your tarot. So they made a knas on someone who does this. So now what are they going to say? So what do you see here? Kansu rabanan sorry, Lidide Kansu Rabbanan, Libre Lo Kansu Rabbanan, okay? But they didn't, they weren't Kones, his children. Okay, and therefore, what do you see? In our case, also, we wouldn't be Kones, the child. So if you sell your Eved and then you die, the child isn't penalized, he has to now buy back the Eved. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll continue more with this tomorrow.